Hey, it's Simple from Ivy, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 96 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, March 13th, 2018. The time, 6:32 p.m. And it's still light outside, which tells me it's daylight savings times now. I hope you all have realized that now that we are on Tuesday. I am one of the hosts for this evening. My name is Tim. Hello. Alongside me is Brett. Hello, Brett.
Officially 1 month on this episode away from 100.
That's right.
Dang.
If we stay on schedule and if we don't become overachievers, in one month we will be on 100. Triple digits officially. Pretty exciting. Still have no idea what we're going to do for that episode. Maybe we'll get some guests, but you know how that goes. That's not really up to us if a guest wants to come on. But we'll see. We'll figure it out. Maybe we'll actually stream. Maybe we'll use our Twitch channel for something for once.
There we go.
By the way, if you're like, what? You have a Twitch? That's right. We do. Never used it, but it's there. You can follow if you go to our website, tcr.gg. It's very simple. Follow us on Twitch. Join our Discord. Follow us on Twitter. Be interactive. Retweet, like, whatever the kids do nowadays. Do that to ensure...
Twitter.
You know, whatever. That people know who we are, your favorite esports podcast, after all. If you haven't noticed, Anuj is not here with us today.
Suspended.
He is suspended. you know, he used some emojis he wasn't supposed to use in our in our show meeting. And I don't play them games. So everyone, message Anuj, tweet at him for your support. Everything there. So he'll be back, though, I think next week. Maybe. I don't know. Anyways, let's get on with the show today. There's a ton of stuff to get to, and man, it was a drama-filled week. Of course, we're going to end the show, as always, with e-news, get to some good stuff there. CSGO, they had some drama. People not showing up when they're supposed to be, dropping out of tournaments. The hotel has things growing on the walls. We'll talk about that. The big news of the week was XQC getting suspended again. And then the bigger news was him getting kicked off of Dallas Fuel, so we'll talk about that. But to start the show off, I want to talk about just a general discussion topic. And that's involving Call of Duty. CWL Atlanta happened over the weekend. And something that we see... not often, but you see it more in esports than any other thing on a professional level, that is. And that's gentlemen agreements. Gentlemen agreements. Brett, we have an agreement where we won't sleep with each other's wives, right?
Which is a good agreement. It's, you know, it keeps the show together.
It keeps
and,
us honest.
Us from killing each other.
You know, it is what it is.
That's right.
And so that's an example. Well, what happened this weekend, or I guess, over the weekend at this point, is Clayster from E-United broke one of these agreements. So, in Call of Duty World War II, if you have not played it recently, there's a gun called the M1 Grand. If you have played any World War II shooter, you know it's kind of it's not a bolt action, I don't know what it is, a semi-automatic?
It's a semi-auto, yeah.
And pretty overpowered in most World War II games. I assume that's just how the gun naturally was. But it's a two-shot kill at the moment in Call of Duty World War II. So it's pretty overpowered. So there's, on the pro scene, this agreement between men, between the players. Hey, don't use it. It's not officially banned. The Activision, MLG, whoever makes these rules up for the tournament, they allow it. It's not, you know... there are certain perks and guns and things, right, that are banned, right? Like incendiary shells. Those are officially banned from the organizer, the tournament
that
organizer themselves.
Yeah.
God, could you imagine?
Oh, my God.
Or like UAV, for example. That's a perk that's officially banned. Pros cannot use it. There are rules in place to stop them. Well, there's not one for this M1 Grand. Some, and Klaser has been on his Twitch chat before, saying that, you know, there's skill to it, right? It's, and I don't necessarily think he's wrong.
Yeah.
Right?
No. And you're right. Yeah, I mean, it's really the only gun in the game outside of a sniper rifle that involves some aim and, you know, some skill base. You know, it's, no, I don't want to say skill base, you know, because those guys are talented. But I mean, it requires aiming. You can't just like fire at the crotch and, you know,
get a headshot,
go ham on the right trigger, right? So
it's different. It is a two-shot kill, yeah, though, and I think that's why they. I mean, that's really, it's just an overpowered gun. So, long story short, gentlemen's agreement not to use it. Well, E-United, for anyone who has paid attention to the professional Call of Duty scene, the CWL this year, E-United has been in a funk, like most teams with World War II. Yeah. But they have been in a funk, and Klaister basically tweeted out prior to the game, like, look, I'm using anything. Like, this is happening. He was like, before anyone freaks out, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
So, in a game against Era Eternity, he did just that. And they were losing. He pulled out the M1 Grand and won. And it started a firestorm in the Call of Duty community. Not only just from fans, but pros. Like, you had pros on Twitter basically saying, like, threatening Klaister. Like, if you do that to us, you better watch out. Like, I know where to find you. And Klaister, has been known to be a bit of a hothead, right? Just even from being on FaZe and things like that. He's got a personality. So he took to Twitter. And if you look, maybe I'll tweet this on the shows. I screenshot a lot of the Twitter because he deleted most of them. But he went on a rant. And I'm talking like I'll read one right here.
Yeah,
seems like y'all need to be redirected if your hate to Sledge. If you have something banned, get it banned. Not my fault. I didn't break any rules. There's no trees in sight.
The only thing you can be mad at is maybe his grammar.
I've never felt more old while reading people's younger tweets. Cause I'm like, I don't get, what does no trees in sight mean? Got way too much going on to care this much about a game and a scene that's so blind it can't see the game dying in front of their faces. Now, to give a background story here, his father is really sick, like in the hospital. Like he was a last minute, okay, I'm going to go to Atlanta type of sick. So he does have things going on. That's what he means by got way too much going on to care, which I don't blame him, right?
And can get lost in translate because we're such a reactionary
society, right? Like at first, right, I had no idea that was going on. And then all of a sudden I started reading and I'm like, okay. I get what he's saying. But like, here's this. I think this is one of the worst ones. And he did end up deleting it. Every match we get bodied, my love for competitive dies a little more. I don't even want to compete anymore. So over this scene and all these ignorant Ferks, people wonder why it's gotten stale. It's a family show, so, you know.
Yeah, of course.
So that one, like, he deleted it pretty quick. But he gets hot, and this all of a sudden triggers everyone, right? So now all the pros are commenting on that.
Well, because, you know, he's essentially just calling. It's like he's calling their baby ugly, right? It's like no one wants to see.
Well, and especially in the reality of like, bro, you're the chump. You're the one who just broke this gentleman's agreement and had to use a gun that we're all agreeing is overpowered to win a match. Now, he didn't use it for the rest of the tournament. He did come back and apologize to Era and said, hey, you know, like, my bad. You know, and they said they're cool, I guess, you know, however cool they want to be. But if I have to be an opinionated personality right now, I'm not really going to blame Klaister for this. In my opinion, I kind of think gentlemen agreements have no place in tournament for cash.
No. I mean, especially, like, the players shouldn't be the ones that have to, you know, come up with these rules and say, this should You know, maybe it's more damning on the league. Maybe the league should listen to its players and like, hey, this gun is overpowered. It needs to be removed. Remove the choice from the players because you're just creating a nest storm.
I agree. I really dislike it when leagues give any type of decision making like this to the players. Like I remember, and they still do this in some Call of Duty tournaments. Where, what were the teams? I think it was Luminosity and Liquid. No, this was like a long time ago, but the one I'm going to...
Oh, okay. We're not talking about that. Okay.
No, I want to say Luminosity and Liquid. I could be wrong. But basically, a camera guy accidentally powered down one of the computers for, we'll say, Luminosity. And at that time, the tournament organizer basically went up to Liquid and said, what do you want to do? Like, do you want to give him the L or do you want to replay the round? And that just started a lot of drama. And I think at that point, like, it shouldn't be up to the teams. Like, do you not have rules in place? If this gun is so overpowered that all the gentlemen, you know, all the players are basically saying, guys, let's not use this. Do you as a developer think, it's not Sledgeham who makes the rules. We'll say Activision or MLG, whoever makes the rules. As a rule maker, are you not like, maybe we should just ban it?
Yeah.
And I get there were some arguments of saying like, well, why don't they just nerf it? But then people are saying, well, the issue with that is with Call of Duty, they have such a casual player base. Like what you play casually on Call of Duty is nothing like what the pros play. It's completely different settings, rules, everything. So it's like if you start morphing things to what happens on a 4v4 pro level game style, it's not going to really translate over to a 6-on-6 with everything goes type online.
Yeah, I mean you can even like nerfing the weapon overall in the game. It's not like you talk to a lot of Call of Duty players, like people that just play the game. You know, I would say the bulk of those guys aren't going to know the pro scene very well. So what a pro says is nerf, you know, on their end isn't really going to translate, more to your point, to just random Joes. The only esport that I can even compare to that maybe, you know, the pro scene is kind of in tune with just the casual scene is Counter-Strike.
Like, and that's because they are playing. Valve made it to where like what we play is the same for the most part, except for like tick rates and all that. It is what the pros are.
That translates. This doesn't really, like, you can't nerf something because it's overpowered and competitive.
No.
I
get why people would be upset with Claysters because, hey, but prior to the match, he did tell them, hey, I'm going to use whatever. Like, if it's not banned, it's fair play.
Yeah.
And I kinda,
at least he came
I
out
have
and said
that
it.
Attitude, man. There's money on the line. If this gun is not going to get them kicked out of the tournament, I'm okay ruffling a few feathers. You know, I don't need to make everyone happy. Like, yo, I'm here to win. Like,
it'd be kind of like in football, you know, but, you know, maybe right before the forward pass, you know, came in, it's like everyone ran the ball. It's like, hey, you know, gentlemen's agreement. Let's not let's take out the forward pass. If you're losing, right, you're going to do all you can to get the advantage, right? Like, it's, you can't ask somebody to not do something that's in the game.
Yeah, in a competitive setting with money on the line and you're already frustrated because of outside entities going on with family and the team struggling, it's like, go for it, right? Like, I have no issue with it. I honestly, when I saw that, did not care. In fact, I was like, good. I wish more pros would even use the M1 Grand because it just makes it a little bit more entertaining to watch. But
yeah,
at least he turned around and apologized, and it was pretty much water under the bridge for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike XQC, who, moving on to the Overwatch drama category of a segment of this episode. Let me get my notes here because there are dates involved here.
There's a lot to it.
On March 9th, Blizzard, they posted on their website basically saying, hey, we have some disciplinary actions we're taking on certain players. One of which you saw was Timu. Timu was fined $1,000 for a anti-gay slur that he said on his stream. Tyrone, which is the coach of Houston, actually was not punished, but they did address the fact that he did that really bad Hiroshima meme joke on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like that wasn't funny to anyone, but he did like quickly turn
He's
around
reconciled.
On his own and donate money and apologize and said, look, language barrier. I don't believe that, but I get it.
Yeah. I have a hard time maybe thinking he was trying to be malicious, but
it just
it's good. That
I think he was just trying to be funny,
something on his own.
And it missed. I just think it missed the mark.
Yeah, it missed. It really missed.
It just wasn't really funny. Don't get me wrong. I love me a good inappropriate joke. That just wasn't funny.
Right.
But then at the bottom, the bulk of this post from Blizzard, and you can find this on the Overwatch League's website. Felix XQC Langwell? Is that how you say that?
Lingol.
Of the Dallas Fuel is suspended for 4 matches effective March 12th and fined $4,000. XQC repeatedly used an emote in a racially disparaging manner on the league stream and on social media and used disparaging language against Overwatch League casters and fellow players on social media and on his personal stream. Then they went into saying, you know, he's been banned before, he's been talked to before, which is why this punishment is so harsh.
Yeah, and for those who don't know what racially disparaging emote is, and they even talked to Trihex, the streamer that tryhard emote is tied to, and he's like, yeah, you can't help what people use it for, but, you know, come on, man.
So what it was is like with I'm spacing on his name. Malik, who is the he's the stage host, right?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, he's the black one. When he is on the screen, people on Twitch chat, by the way, I'm just going to put this disclaimer. I don't even have it open ever. There is nothing good that comes from Twitch chat, but they will spam this black emote and a 7, and I guess it means try hard.
Try hard 7, yeah.
I don't really get it, but all right, sure, whatever. And their argument is, well, and an XQC apparently did this in the chat when
in the Overwatch League chat.
Yes. So stupid on his part, right? You would think after so many times of getting talked to, of saying like, look, just don't be dumb. Like, just don't do things. If you have to ask yourself, will this get me in trouble? Just don't do it.
He has no inner monologue.
Zero.
Zero.
And in fact, he pretty much said it in his apology, which I'll play audio here in a second, where he basically was saying how his sense of judgment of right and wrong is what Twitch chat would think. In more or less words, that's what he said on his stream after this was announced that he was suspended. And I just got sad. Like, I was like, wow. That is very upsetting to me, that how he judges all he knows is what's right or wrong or what's funny or acceptable is what either 13-year-olds are doing on his Twitch chat or just people on the internet who are hiding under, you know, a screen name.
Yeah, you're basically just, you know, being crowd pleaser for, you know, pubescent, you know, 13-year-olds that just like seeing a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Do they care if XQC is in the league? Ultimately, no.
Do they
just like to see a dumpster fire?
How about back up? Do they care about XQC? No. They don't. Look at him. Go to any big streamers, but especially someone like DeFran or XQC. People are not there to, albeit, this is a blanket statement. I understand that there might be some people, but for the most part, those people are there laughing at him, not with him.
Yeah. No, they're jeering. Like, they're not cheering you. They're jeering you. It's it, and he fails to see it. you know, it's making him money.
In the pre-show meeting, I brought up the example of, like, he's like that dancing monkey in the cage that people are throwing fruit at, and the monkey thinks that they're being nice throwing him food, but he doesn't realize that they're throwing the fruit at him, right? Yeah. That's what it reminds me of. And I get that there are arguments, right? And Thorin tweeted out saying, like, people who are arguing that Twitch chat emotes are racist are ridiculous. And, you know, he went his old Thorin way where he just makes everything what was nothing into something.
Mm-hmm.
I am not saying a Twitch emote is racist, right? I am saying when you are spamming a black person's emote, every time the black person is on stream, there are racial undertones involved, right?
Definitely.
Let's bring this over to European soccer. A banana is not racist. Throwing a banana at a black soccer player has racial undertones.
Right.
Like, I'm not saying all bananas are racist, and if you eat bananas and if you use this emote, you are racist.
That essentially is not what I'm saying. Defending Twitch chat for using it, or am I not understanding that?
What Thorin was saying? I think what Thorin was trying to make a point of is that there, again, I think he saw a few people saying that no, that is a racist emote. They need to get rid of that emote, because a lot of people were saying, well, if it's a racist emote, why does Twitch have it? Right. And again, mm-hmm. That's not the argument. The argument is the context that it was used. And even Malik went out and said, like, on his Twitter, which, you know, I don't think he needed to say anything either, but he did, basically saying, like, look, it's cool. I've talked to XQC. We get it. But he's like, I know. I'm not dumb. He's like, I know what goes in the chat when I'm on screen.
Yeah.
He's like, it's not the first time it's happened. He deals with it all the time.
And we're not Malik's biggest fans, but at the same time, he shouldn't have to worry about that. And he shouldn't have to
defend,
be apologetic for
exactly.
Yeah. For you know, XQC's never mind.
South Park said it best. In I don't know the name of the episode, but like when Kyle was trying to convince Token that he wasn't racist or something like that, and the end of the episode, Kyle was like, oh my God, I get it. I just don't get it. Like, that was the whole premise of, like, white people will never understand why black people get upset over things that we might not think are racist or offensive. But we just don't get it. I don't know if maybe our listeners don't know this. Me and Brett are white. We're white middle-class Americans.
Yeah.
We are very white.
We are extremely white. Yeah, we are like the whitest white.
And so I am not going to sit here and try to pretend or preach that, hey, you shouldn't use this emoticon because it's racist and blah, blah, blah. I truly don't think it is. But I definitely am smart enough to realize that if you're throwing it up every time a black guy's on stream, you're not doing it to say hello.
Yeah, and what sucks for Malik is, you know, his thought process, you know, isn't that, you know, maybe I should. He wants to come out and maybe say these, and I'm just thinking outside the box. He's coming out and, you know, being a, you know, just apologizing for XQC because he doesn't want that fan base that
going after
cult
him.
Following going after him. You know, he has to make money too, and he doesn't want to have to deal with that, which is sad because they are,
I mean,
a
it's
cult.
A hornet's nest.
It
you know,
really
you,
is
you kicked the XQC hornet's nest, and go into any Overwatch League stream now for probably the rest of time, and you're going to see people using that tryhard 7 emote and XQC garbage in a ironic manner, right? Like, they're doing it to just be tongue-in-cheek about it.
And I watch a lot of I watch all pretty much every Overwatch game I'll glance at, and I for the show I just got curious. I'm like you, Tim. I do not like looking at chat because it's terrible. But for the show,
the best advice I can ever give is just close Twitch chat.
Just close it. But I watched it, you know, and it was like I watched all three matches after he got suspended. Throughout all three matches, people were spamming that emote, try hard seven. Like they are hornet's nest, like you said, Tim. It's bad.
And eventually, I think esports as a whole, they need to learn that they don't owe us. And when I say us, I mean the media, the fan base, Twitter followers, Twitch followers, subscribers, whoever, right? They don't owe us any type of explanation on why they do things or losing or anything like that, right? Like, the most depressing thing in life is reading an Overwatch pro's Twitter after they lose, because all they do is apologize and explain and everything here. They don't owe us any of that, right? Just, it's a 40-game season, move on. Like this, the second it was announced, XQC gets on his stream to tell you his case, right? And it's like, no one asked for that, dude. Like, we see the suspension. We know what it is. Just, if you have to, just tweet something like a generic, most forgiving, neutral Twitter comment or tweet ever. You know, just say, hey, apologize to the fan base for my immaturity. I will serve my 4-game suspension and support the team in any way I can. Right? Like, boom.
Right.
That's all you have to do. Just be a generic professional about it, like any other athlete would do.
And it doesn't help us out as a show because, you know, it doesn't. We wouldn't have
drama,
but
right?
at the same time, we would respect it. All right.
So he did go on, XQC did go on and kind of explain. Now, he went on when this was announced for 2 hours. I went through the first 30 minutes, and I got about the only 5 minutes worth of audio to play from the first 30 minutes.
Yeah, it has no screaming?
Oh, no. There is screaming, and there's swearing. So if you have children next to you, I apologize. But
we're giving you the M1 Garen heads up.
We're giving you the old Clayster heads up. They're swearing. So we're breaking that gentleman's agreement that this is a family show. So this is here. So this is the part of the suspension where Blizzard is talking about he was saying things to other pros. And it was the R word, which again is another thing that I'll get into. But here's XQC.
Yeah, so basically, for me, it was obvious the way I was describing it. It's like a game style, but you know, personal vendettas and personal agendas made it so someone pushed hard for me to be punished for it because I said that Fade and Envy played R word style, which was, I think, doesn't matter if it's true. It's just the way I described it.
So that's where he's kind of describing. He mentioned that play styles of these professionals are retarded, is what he's saying.
Okay.
Again, I can tell you because I studied it in college. That word is not in itself bad. It's just the way people use it, right? It has that negative connotation.
Yeah.
But even like in that clip there, he was basically saying like, he was a victim to the system. Someone posted it on Reddit, and then they dogpiled him, right? So it was this weird kind of thing where it wasn't like he was really owning up to it, right? He was trying to more so explain on why it wasn't bad on what he said rather than just moving on.
It's something that he never learned from his first mistake. Second mistake is accountability. It's fake. Like, one of his biggest things, like, even when he got suspended the first time, was like, Reddit won. Like, no, you effed up.
Yeah. Like, it's not always Reddit versus XQC, right? It's not XQC versus the world. People are not out here to get XQC, you know, out of a job. Yeah. I mean, don't think that's anyone's intentions.
You lost because you made, you threw a match. You lost because you made an anti-gay, you know, comment to Mooma. You lost because you were spamming an emote that you really shouldn't be spamming in that, you know, manner that you were doing it. You lost. Reddit didn't win. you lost. Like, you messed up. And he will never get it. Like, he just doesn't understand.
No. This is all again, this is like all within 30 minutes, okay? So there he was kind of calmly talking. And this is him just joking around.
In the light of the suspension, the fine, the ban, the backlash, the PR, the what it is, my fucking rep is tanking, everyone's jumping on me, dude. Everyone thinks I'm fucking homophobic, racist, anti-human, fucking mastermind, crush lord, fucking, I don't know, dude. Everyone's fucking tilted at me, dude. I think in a lot of all this, I think I think just like the playing Overwatch, the Overwatch League, dude, the playing for Norg, the streaming, dude, I think it's done. I think it's over. I think I'm just done with all of it, and probably just, you know, gonna like go back to score or whatever, man. I think it's all over for me. Yeah, it's pretty much, I'm pretty much done. It's like I debated. Fucking idiots. You thought I was done? Seriously, dude? What a fucking joke. I'm sure that at least.
Got him.
I made a little bit of people in the chat a nice smile, dude. A little bit of smiles in chat, dude. I'm pretty sure other people smell with that shit. If you thought I was gonna quit, what the fuck? Crazy. Fucking Reddit warrior, dude. Neckbeard cucklord. Absolute cucklord. That was done. Oh, you're such a fucking idiot.
So that is, like, moments after, like, one of his apologies that he's like, bro, if you just look at it from like the league or ownership's perspective, this is a dude who's now a second time offender, really third time if you look like overall, right? Because he's already been banned prior before Overwatch League started for throwing games on stream. So Blizzard already kind of doesn't like him, right? Here he is joking around about it on stream. Because why? Twitch chat is yucking it up, and oh, here's a donation, and here's $500, and he's having a good time. But it's just the gravity of the situation. It's just not, he's not getting it.
Yeah, and you know who else? You know, he doesn't realize the people, the organizations that he's screwing over. You think the Dallas Fuel wanted this? He played 6 games out of 16. Now, he wasn't suspended for all of those. But he only played 6 out of 16 games. And going back to the games that he wasn't even suspended, I'm just thinking outside the box.
You didn't play exceptionally well in those games.
Exactly. And the reason he didn't play in those games that he wasn't suspended, he probably, you know, he wasn't going to meetings. He was missing
being late
team events.
And causing issues. And it's like, imagine if like you're his teammates, right? Like, here's Siegel, who's currently been on the bench all of stage 2, but he's you know, he's like, nah, for the most part, I haven't heard him once complain about it. He's like, nope, I'm a team player. That's what I'm here for, right?
Yeah.
I'm here and when they need me. I'll help scrim. I'll do whatever. I'm here to help out the Dallas Fuel. And here's, like, what do you think his teammates are when they're seeing this? And, like, seriously? Like, you're sitting here joking about quitting streaming and all this and talking about how you just can't balance the streaming and everything? Like, are you for real right now, dude?
What about those guys?
Like, what about your teammates that you're so-calling your
literal,
friends?
Siegel's giving up literal, you know, tens of thousands. Maybe I'm throwing that number out there. Maybe I'm not. Maybe it is tens of thousands of dollars he's giving up doing the Overwatch League. And not streaming as much. Like, other people are making sacrifices. It's not. This goes back to the fact that he can't see beyond his own nose. Like, do you? And looking at this from a Dallas Fuel perspective, he's held this team hostage for 8 weeks. For 8 weeks, he's held this team hostage of, you know, Mike thinking, you know what? He's going to turn the corner. We really need him. You know, we're going to have him for this push. We're going to have him for the second half of the season. It's going to be great. Mm-hmm. You know what they could have done in that meantime that you were holding that team hostage for 8 weeks? Maybe go and find somebody else. Maybe find OGE in week one or two rather than week eight of the season.
Yeah. And we've talked, you know, when we had Mike on the show, the owner of the Fuel, we've talked to him a little bit on air about it, but and even off air, saying like, you know, what's going on behind the scenes. And you could tell he really wanted XQC to work out. Like, yeah, this was not like a vendetta against him to kick him off the team. It's not like Mike is sitting there like, yes, finally, I got my way. He did not want this to happen like this. Now, I have one more clip. I think it's about a minute or two again for XQC, kind of talking about how he feels sorry.
I know how it could have been seen, like the fucking tryhard thing and the R-word thing and the whole thing. I actually do apologize for everything. I think it's fucked up. I think I should have known my standards, and I did learn my lesson anyway from professionalism and shit. I thought it was way better in the last couple of days, last couple of weeks. But there's something that is that I forget all the time, and it's a little too late. And things are gonna be different for me a little bit, because that's just the way it is, man. And there's something that kind of like broke my fucking, not my heart, like I don't want to be edgy, but just the other day, dude, that was like, dude, it's not fair, man. This guy did this, and this guy did that, and this guy did that. And I was so upset, dude. I was like so mad. I was like, how can this happen, man? I said, it's not fair. And then someone told me, it's not that it's fair, it's just the way it is, and you can't fight the system. And that was it. And it fucking hurts, dude. To hear that shit, dude. To hear that shit. You can't fight the system, dude? You can't fight it, dude? Fuck you!
I'm just speechless by, like...
Alright. It's... A few things. He says that he's sorry at the beginning of it. You think he's, you know, going to have this heart field. And then it's, I don't get it.
Dude.
I don't understand. It's not fair.
For 2 hours, it was exhausting watching that for 2 hours. And it would go where he'd get really, like, serious. And he'd be like, I understand what I did. I know it was wrong. And then he'd be like, oh, but this and this and this and this, and here's this guy doing this, and you know, like, it's like, like, bro, if you don't get it yet, you never will. And now I was pretty much ready to cut bait with him after the first suspension, but you, Brett, I mean, you really, you were kind of his fanboy at the start and going into it, where you were fighting his case for the longest time. So it's not like we're just sitting here bashing him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm like the Fuel. I wanted him to do well. You know, it's not the league's fault. It's not the team's fault. It's not my fault. It's not Reddit's fault. We want to see him succeed. Even after his second apology, after his suspension, when he came out and, you know, did that video that the Dallas Fuel retweeted, you know, I was like, you know what? He understands it. I want to believe that he's going to turn it around, but no more.
And you know what? I think that if you had him this is going to sound so weird, but if you separated him from Twitch chat, I think he'd be fine. The reason he, like, with his first apology, you know, it's like, it's almost like he didn't have Twitch chat there, but you could tell this whole time he had it on the screen and he was reading all of it throughout all this thing. Like, he couldn't even get a sentence out without, like, talking about something with Twitch chat or doing some type of meme from Twitch chat. It's like, dude, like, you don't get it, man. And this was before he even knew he was kicked off. And then when he got kicked off, he, you know, showed him taking down all of his Dallas Fuel stuff, and took off his hoodie and being all dramatic about it. Like, he didn't see this coming.
And like it was the Fuel's fault.
Yeah, like, they gave up on me.
Like, yeah, Mike wasn't throwing his, you know, XQC jersey in the trash and burning it. Like, that is the equivalent of what he did. He took his jersey off and threw it. Like, screw you guys. You know, this is what kind of respect I'm going to show you. You, in his mind, he probably thinks that they turned his back on him.
Oh, dude, you know it. You know, after especially like going back and reading Twitch chat and stuff, all those guys pumping his ego up, saying, man, this is wrong, mm-hmm. this is wrong. You know, he's sitting there thinking, yeah, what I did wasn't that bad. No, it was a joke. It wasn't that bad. But it's, again, when your peanut gallery is Twitch chat, I question the validity on what is right or wrong, right? When Twitch chat is the one telling you. Now, I know we're beating up on XQC right now, and I could see him making a return to Overwatch League in the future, but after the expansion, right? So, like, in Season 2, when there's more teams and, you know, the player pool gets a little deeper, right? I could see maybe. Would I think it'd be a mistake? Yeah, I do. I really don't see him ever changing how he acts.
I don't see how a team could take another chance on him.
No, I don't. I don't. Like I said, unless they just needed it. Unless he really showed through streaming and stuff that he calms down. But I mean, that ain't going to happen.
You can't, like, two things. Like, you can't rely on him to be your main tank, because you don't know if he's going to be available. And on the second hand, you can't pick him up to just be on the roster and not have to really count on him, because he's going to be an influence on those other players, and he's going to be influenced by not playing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't take a chance on him.
No.
Like, no team should ever take a chance on him.
I don't think it would be worth it. I think you can find other tanks out there, because you think that if the Fuel weren't 5-11, that he'd be off the team? You think if he had any type of impact to where it's like, whoa, XQC is a real difference maker when he's playing. Do you think this would have happened? Do you think they would have kicked him off the team if they were 14-2 like New York and he was still just kind of full of drama? No. No. This is a clear result of like, hey, your drama, you're messing up the feng shui that we have going here with team chemistry, and we're 5-11. They have nothing to lose at this point.
Yeah.
Just cut bait and look towards the future. I will say this, though. Richard Lewis, and on his show, he did bring up the fact that, you know, that Blizzard kind of runs all the teams, right, in Overwatch League. Because XQC came out and he kind of outed Blizzard that they went to the Fuel and said, hey, can you need to suspend XQC again. So that kind of outed it. Now everyone's like, oh, so Blizzard's the one calling the shots then on who plays and who doesn't. If that's true, right, mm-hmm. I think Blizzard does need to answer, right? Like, they're not entirely in the right on how they handled this situation. I think things need to be more clear on the type of attitude they want, right? They're very clear on how they want their players to act. They want them to act mature. They want to act like an adult and like a professional. It's probably best if you just don't swear at all on your streams, right? Just maybe if you just cut that vocabulary out while you're live on camera, it would help. It's possible. Trust me. We don't swear on this podcast, but guess what? The second we stop recording, you know, every other
word.
We're
just throwing them around.
Right.
Oh my God.
So,
like a sailor. Yeah.
So it's possible for, you know, a stretch of time just to not say something stupid. But at the same time, you know, and I'm going to use Monte Cristo here as my target. Like, he does oversight with Thorne, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he sits there and he'll talk about the players, he'll talk about the teams and how they manage, and how he's a little bit more, you know, he kind of walks the line where Thorne is just shooting from the hip all the time.
Yeah.
But at the same time, does Blizzard not look at that and say, hey, Monty, you're associating yourself here with Thorne, who is... pretty vocal about not only how we handle things, but about the players. You can't do that anymore, right? Like, people associate you with him, and we don't want to be associated with him And I say in this case Thorne, but anyone who just talks like that, right? If you're an employee of the league, you probably shouldn't be doing a show where your co-host is just vocally dismantling the league.
Yeah, and it's something that the league should really get ahead of now. I mean, the league is in its first season, but if you want to look at a league that's going through that right now, you know, just the S storm that is, you know, that persona, it's NFL. Like, they're catching a lot of flack of, you know, player conduct, and there's really no concise set of rules, and you know, they're, you know, suspensions are kind of, you know, firing from the hip, and you know, there no one knows what they can and cannot do. Blizzard needs to get ahead of that and just make it public. Like, hey, you cannot do this. If you do this, this is the consequence.
Mm-hmm. I 100% agree. Like, here, so it was released, and Monte Cristo ended up I guess it's not even a leak. He ended up just putting it on Twitter. It was his text messages. But he asked XQC if he wanted to go to lunch and I guess just kind of talk, right? Like, talk it out. And things like that. Well, XQC ended up finding out, like, just between him saying yes, he'll go to lunch and lunch, found out that he's no longer on the team. So he had to do, according to XQC, he had to do things and he missed lunch, but he never told Monty. So, like, Monty went out trying to meet him for lunch and then was stood up. So then XQC found out about this and on his stream said, like, hey, sorry, but don't do that. Like, that's messed up. Like, why would you show a personal message and everything like that? And so Thorin then tweets out, at this point, I'm actually glad XQC is out of the Overwatch League. This guy just never effing learns. Perfect example of someone who thinks just saying the word sorry is actually apologizing or being remorseful. Stand someone up for a lunch date and agree to attend, no problem. Just say you're sorry and then, barely having taken a breath, tell your stream you could leak far worse things on Monty. Good riddance, you're truly the KNG of Overwatch League. Now, Thorin has all the right in the world to tweet that, right?
Yeah.
He's not employed by Overwatch. He doesn't get a paycheck from Blizzard. He could say whatever he wants. I'm perfectly okay with that. My thing is how, if Blizzard is going to police the players as much as they are, right, where it's like, hey, on your stream, you said this about the Houston Outlaws, right? Said someone is an idiot, and now we have to fine you $1,000. Because it seems like that's kind of how they're doing it, right? They're watching your streams. Then I feel like they need to do that for the casters as well. And if Monty is an actual host, it's not like he's a guest appearance or he's, you know, doing anything like that. He's a host on this site or on this podcast. Blizzard needs to look at that. You know, they need to say, okay, who are our employees associating themselves with? And are we okay with that? I'm okay with it. I don't care. You know, I'm a fan of oversight. I think they do an okay job. But
yeah.
I'm just saying, from Blizzard's point of view, is what I'm trying to look at, right?
Yeah, because if this league wants to break away from traditional esports, if it wants to become more mainstream, people are going to have to be able to take it seriously. Networks are going to have to be able to see this as a product that can sustain and be viewable and have people take it seriously on TV. You know, they can't have just a bunch of gunslingers out there just saying whatever they want to say.
No.
I mean, we like it because, like we said earlier, it gives us something to talk about, but ultimately
I want to see
the league succeed, right? More than, you know,
XQC being in it.
Exactly.
This is the Dallas Fuel that we're talking about. It's not XQC. We'll get into it because we're already running long on this topic, but we'll get into it in a future episode because now there's rumors that Timu and Coco are trying to, well, Dallas Fuel are trying to either get rid of them either by selling them or just dropping them out. And there's a lot of backlash from, you know, the fan base, quote unquote. And we'll talk about that maybe next week. But people need to realize, like, this is the Dallas Fuel, and they have to look out on how they're doing. Right now, they are 5-11. They need to make changes. If if XQC is going to cause this drama, then by all means, drop him. Mm-hmm. It probably should have happened a long time ago.
Right.
But also, if Blizzard is going to start handing out these little $1,000 fines here and there, and you know, players are kind of becoming a little bit more outspoken of saying, hey, because just because XQC is kicked off the team and he does seem to have some screws loose, there are some truth to what he says, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the players need to seriously kind of look at each other and say, should we get a players union going? Like, should we address that we feel like our voices aren't being heard? And if they go with that, they need to go with someone completely not associated with Blizzard. You know, like, don't try to get someone who's associated with the scene or, for that matter, who has ever even earned a paycheck from Blizzard. Just get a neutral person who knows how to run business and knows how to defend you. Because you have all these...
Yeah, don't make a... what was it? The PEA. Don't make a PEA type of mistake, right?
Yeah.
That's what it was?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what... And then, like, Sir Scoots got involved and all that blew up a construct.
Where you have a voice, but you really don't have a voice. I mean, it's...
Yeah, just get someone who's the outside who is willing to do this. And go from there. You know, you have all these esports lawyers that always say, like, oh, I'm willing to help out anyone in esports. And I have my opinion. I think that's all kind of bullsh. And they're doing it for self-value. But, you know, when XQC gets, quote-unquote, wrongfully kicked off the team and fined, where were those lawyers, right?
Mm-hmm.
No one jumped to his side. You know why? Because then they'd be fighting Blizzard. Do you want to do that as some freelance pro bono esports lawyer? Go up against Blizzard? No. No, you don't want to do that. So I think the players need to, if this is something of their concern, they need to get together and say, look, you want to be professional on your side, Blizzard? We want to be professional on ours. We want a voice. We want a players union. And you know what? Maybe Siegel would be the perfect representative for the players in that sense.
Oh, for sure.
He's friendly with Blizzard. He knows Blizzard, but he's also a player who sees it from their perspective.
Yeah, but this is like way kind of hypothetical right now, right?
Oh,
like...
This is just kind of stretching bits and pieces, right, of how, you know, spawning where Richard Lewis was saying the league is basically making all the behind decisions and all that. But we'll see. Bottom line, XQC is done with Overwatch League. So, you know, there's that. There were other dramas going on in the weekend. I want to get into it real quick. We don't have to spend too much time because we're already running pretty long on this episode. But with CSGO, there was some drama involved there. So on March 9th, Na'Vi ended up losing to Godsent, of all teams, to qualify for the ECS Season 5. Or Finals. And conveniently enough, that same day, Simple and Flamey failed to show up at the airport to go to WESG, which is going on right now, claiming, we can't make the tournament for personal reasons. Simple later then tweeted out, basically saying, like, look, I'm just tired. I need rest. For my health, I need rest.
I can see two sides. I'm more so leaning towards, come on, man. If you made an obligation, you need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side, those guys play so many games. Like, you got to know, like, when you're getting burnt out.
Yeah.
Ahead of time.
Agreed.
You know, just like, hey, Team Ukraine, I'm sorry. You know, I've just been playing a lot.
Yeah,
I haven't really
Ukraine
had a chance
had,
to go
Russia,
home.
Russia with Flamey gets to still play. I think they're using, the last I read is they're using their coach.
Okay.
But like Ukraine had to straight drop out because they could not find a replacement and get visa settled because they Simple literally dropped out as they were boarding the plane. That's where I have an issue. I'm with you. I could totally, like, dude, I don't blame you for being tired, right? Like,
yeah.
I we talk about it on the show almost every week that they play way too many tournaments. But
right.
to do it right then and there, you just couldn't fly to China and just kind of glide through this tournament. Like, you just, you did it this way, and it just so happens to be after you lost to a team you should have beat to qualify for ECS. Like, come on, man.
It doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good. No.
Yeah.
No, sir. It does not look good. And on top of that, with ECS, maybe Simple and Flamey made the right choice of bailing out, because originally the hotel that WESG provided, it wasn't good.
It was a rat motel.
If you watch,
you call it is.
If you like, if you want to follow people on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, if you want to see a good video, there's one that Scream tweeted out where a piece of the roof falls off, like a piece of the ceiling falls off onto the floor, and you could just see there's a pillar there that is just rotted out with mold. It's disgusting.
They're holding up the hallway ceilings with like what looks like bamboo rafters. And then who was it? It was, I think Mixwell ended up tweeting out a video of them turning on the water in the bathtub, and it was straight brown water going out into the bath. It was...
He's just uncultured. It's a mud bath.
Yeah, man, be respectful. It's Chinese culture. It was not good. I guess what ended up happening was WSG originally had a hotel planned out, but then that hotel had to back out because they overbooked. So then they scrambled and got this hotel. So that's the background story. Apparently, Cloud9 walked into the hotel and pretty much immediately called their owner and were like, get us a different hotel.
We've seen those dudes. They don't really look like the camp out, you know, adventurous type.
No. It's and like, I don't blame them, because I would do the same thing. You've seen
no,
me.
I agree.
You've seen me in hotels. Like,
someone is going to kill me in this hotel
room. I go for the
room.
Finest. Four stars or bust. That's my rule.
Dang. High maintenance.
Yeah, well, you know. Does that surprise you, though?
No, it doesn't.
So they, like, immediately went out. But some of these teams, they don't have, like, huge organizations backing them up or none at all. Because the WESG has the rule. Their whole thing is that the roster is all part of the same nationality, right? So, like, some of these teams don't have an organization backing them up. Or have one that can afford a new hotel and everything. WSG did make it right. They did find new housing and hotels for these teams, but
what a guy.
Man, you got to go look at these pictures. Like, just, I don't know, look up WESG hotel or something on Google. I'm sure you'll find the pictures. They were not
scary
good. Like, not building code. Like, I don't understand how that's even, like, how is the owner of that hotel like, yeah, this is good. Like, yeah, people can stay here. No one will say anything.
It's a rustic feel. I mean, it's supposed to be like that. This is just part of
the
feng shui.
The motif. You know? It's what we're going for. It's the motif. Ridiculous. But so WESG is going on. So we'll pay attention to that. But for now, let's get into some e-news, shall we? The Bucharest Major for Dota 2 ended up wrapping up. Virtus Pro defeated VGJ Thunder 3-0 in the finals. This is just weeks after Virtus Pro ended up winning ESL 1 Katowice, so they are on a bit of a tear. ESL also announced that the first ever Dota Major for London is going to come, or I guess UK, I should say. It's in Birmingham, which is outside of London, so that's going to happen May 25th through the 27th. We mentioned CWL Atlanta earlier in the show. Ryze ended up defeating Red Reserve. Take that, UK. They ended up winning 3-1. E-United, after their, betrayal of the gentleman's agreement, ended up tying 5th and 6th with Optic.
Yeah, actually, after this, Optic came out and they're going to be making changes to their in-game lead, I believe. Like,
yeah, they got to do something.
They're not
they're
used
struggling.
To losing.
No, yeah. No. And we'll talk about this maybe in a later episode.
Yeah.
That Call of Duty scene, we will. I'll save it. That's a weird... That would be a weird scene to be in on making roster moves when you know they've already announced the new game that your roster could maybe dominate in. right?
Yeah.
So that's a different scene to discuss. Maybe we'll talk about that in a later episode. This weekend, March 18th, you have The Mango, which is a Smash tournament ran by none other than Mango.
Your bae. Your bestie.
Yep. You can go to smash.gg, I believe, and that's where you can, like, donate to the prize pool or buy things for the prize pool. So, you know I did that. So I have a bandana on its way.
Wonder if there's going to be beer.
No, maybe. Maybe, you know. maybe 40s for everyone. One thing with PUBG here, Optic Gaming was disqualified from the recent ESL PUBG Invitational. Not only were they disqualified, but that means they had to forfeit their money. They got second place, and they got that revoked as well. So every team moved up a spot. Basically for cheating. Ian Crow, also known as Bahawaka? That's how I'm going to say that name. Was busted for cheating. He used this bug that basically allows you to adjust your camera angle and see through a wall. He claims that it wasn't, that's not what he was doing. He claims, hey, I was trying to get better angles for the sound to hear where a car was coming from. But according to the article, you pretty much have to do like certain things to get this bug to work. And he did all of them, and it was on stream. So
go watch it. Go watch it for yourself and make your own opinion. I think me and Tim share the same opinion. He was cheating.
He definitely saw through the wall. And
yeah.
if you have to conveniently do a few things to make it work, he conveniently did all of them. So there's that. And one thing here, it's not directly esports related, but it's topics that we talk about. And that's Facebook streaming, right? ESL signed with them and all these, you know, H1Z1 signed with them. So they're getting into the streaming game. At first, I just thought this was like an esports thing. But they just paid MLB up to $35 million to exclusively stream 25 MLB games for the season coming up.
And to me, I think that's a good thing.
It's a good sign for
esports. ESL and Facebook, right? Because MLB, they have standards, and if your streaming isn't really up to par, you know, with a mainstream sport, you know, that it's not going to fly. So yeah. I think they're going to make it work.
Maybe
and it's only going to help ESL.
I mean, with so much money being invested, maybe that means Facebook might be doing Facebook TV, right? Or at least just adding like a live, you know, a live section on their website or something.
Yeah.
We'll see. I just thought that was interesting. I heard that this morning on the radio and thought it was kind of a interesting tie-in to what we normally discuss. But that just about does it for episode 96 of The Center Ring. I hope you all enjoyed. I know we enjoyed it. Lots of drama to talk about, but man, I felt like we crushed it. I felt like that was the best episode ever. Stay hard, XQC. We will be back next week to talk some Overwatch League. Maybe get into that Call of Duty discussion we've been wanting to get into for some time now. I think Anuj is going to be back. I'm not sure when his suspension is up. I'll have to check the rule books.
Ball's in his court, Tim.
Yeah, right. Maybe he needs to do a twit longer apologizing. And we'll let him back on the show. But until then, follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Let us know what you thought of the show. What is your opinion on XQC? Do you think he was wrong? Do you think it was justified? Let us know at The Center Ring. Hit us up on our website, tcr.gg. You can follow us on Twitch from there. You can follow us on Discord. And follow our YouTube channel. We also upload the episodes there. And that's really about it. We'll be back next week for episode 97. But until then, for Brett, I'm Tim. We'll see you next time.